Welcome to another episode of Managing Change on Internet Blog Talk Radio, your host, Ronald Allen. This is home for truly engaging conversation. Managing Change brings you an eclectic perspective on issues that affect you, the individual, the family nucleus, careers, business, and that entrepreneurial spirit that is uniquely American. And yes, a word or two about life's perspectives on managing change for that human touch that drives us to unique heights of accomplishment. Carve out the time every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. for Managing Change on internetblogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen. Now, also here at www.managingchange2.com. Internet radio at its best.
And good evening. Welcome once again to Managing Change. I am your host, Ronald Allen. And every Tuesday and Thursday evening, we bring you that human side to all the business that we have to do around change. We had a great discussion on Tuesday with Miani Lawson. She is the owner of the Montessori School. And what we took away was that the adults that we see today are still motivated because of that early educational, shall we say, explorative manner in which they've been introduced to school, learning, education. Well, tonight's guest kind of takes the other side, almost we might say the midlife side, where we're going to talk about young professionals, and we're going to talk about them specifically in Delaware. Some of you may know that I'm working with an organization in Delaware with job creation, and change management certainly is the order of the day. At the same time, we've found out that how you speak with people, how you engage, connect, in some cases, the rapport that you build, how you build it, do you recognize the nuances between cultural and national ebb and flow of how we speak? So we're going to jump right in. Our guest tonight, Kia Irvin, she is the executive director of Accelerate Delaware. This is she's the motivation behind the statewide effort to breathe new life into the state's young executive culture. This organization, Accelerate Delaware, is housed in Longwood Foundation right there in Wilmington. Kia comes with a Bachelor of Science in Communications, concentration in public relations, from North Carolina A&T State University. All those out there from A&T State University, give us a big shout out. You can call us at 347-843-4378. She also has a master's in counseling from Liberty University. She is poised to take on this task with vim and vigor. I think the diversity of those two skill sets certainly plays well. We had a great kickoff. I say we because I actually attended their May the 14th gala, which was actually overbooked. I'm sure Kia will expand on that. I think they were expecting 200 people. They got over 250. Maybe I was that over 250. Accelerate Delaware, previously known as Talent Live, it's an organization incubated within the Longwood Foundation. It began as an early 2014 and formally launched in 2016. Their goal is to develop and implement a strategy for increasing the percentage of talented young professionals who choose to build their careers and lives in Delaware. Good evening, Kia.
Good evening. What an introduction.
Thank you. We want to get people some background and to kind of take that a little further. I did a little research because I am working in Delaware the first time. I've only really been there, I would say, the better part of 3 years, but working now consistently the last 3 months. And I found out that in 1609, both the Spanish and Portuguese landed on the Delaware, considered now the Delaware coastal lines. And at the same time, it was reported that as early as 1526, European inhabitants, not those indigenous to the existing land, landed in Delaware and claimed much of its today's known government, its structure, its industry, DuPont, we know, we're not going to get into DuPont because that's a whole other story, but we know that DuPont has been a significant industry provider for homes, family, and industry. And I just want to kind of take one last stab at this. Why is it called the first state? John Dickinson of Delaware presided over the Annapolis Convention, which called for the Federal Constitutional Convention there in Delaware. When the new constitution was submitted to the states for ratification, Delaware was the first of 13 original states to ratify the Constitution of the United States, hence the first state. So with that, you are charged with continuing the legacy of Delaware and young professionals. Let's give you a nice broad question to get started. What are young professionals looking for from Delaware?
I mean, I think what they're looking for in Delaware is the same thing that they're looking for anywhere. I mean, I think, you know, it is our target demographic is 20 to 30 years old. So in that time, it's really a time of self-discovery. You know, you're probably just graduating college and into your career. And so really looking for a place we hope to create where you can live, work, and play. You know, somewhere where when you leave work, you feel like you've got a sense of community and a life and something that really helps you dig in and engage where you live. But also strategies and tactics to be successful at work and to connect and really have a chance to grow sort of professionally as well. So I think holistically. And I think the other thing that I've noticed about working with millennials is there's a level of intrinsic value that they're seeking as well. So, you know, you'll see a lot more startups or a lot of people who want to go into nonprofit work. And so while salary, I'm sure, is a tremendous driving force, they also want to feel a sense of meaning and purpose, I think, in their life and their career as well.
Delaware has been hit by three, if not four, major corporations leaving in three specific industries. The auto industry, I believe it was GM, Ford, the banking services, Bank of America, and now, of course, most recently, DuPont has diversified. Yes, it's left the agribusiness there. What's your approach in keeping some level of traction to connect with them, those organizations that are still here, and the young professionals that may look at that and say, ah, is that a good, is that still a good state to consider bringing my interest, my money, and growing a family?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for some who do that level of research, I mean, that could definitely be something that they'd want to consider and to, and look into deeper. But I think the young professionals that I've come across are either Delawareans, they're native to the state, and they just really, it's funny when you were reading about my school, we have an obnoxious level of school pride at North Carolina A&T, so when you said call in, there's some, hopefully some proud Aggies listening, but I've never seen a place that has this much pride in their hometown, you know, and I've lived several places between North Carolina and New York, and there's just such a sense of pride here. So I think for Delawareans, they may see it as an opportunity to be a part of the change, you know, to help the economic climate and really growth and future of the state. And for people who are transplants, I mean, honestly, I'm not sure how much research millennials really do and that kind of thing. I think, you know, for specific trades, of course, if you know that it's, you know, declining or leaving, but I think you kind of go with the best opportunity, especially, you know, now in the job market, you're just looking for a good job. And I think, you know, for some people, a selling point here is definitely that it's in a really close proximity to, I mean, you can get to New York or DC in 2 hours. And from Wilmington, you can get to Philly in 30 minutes. You know, you're not far from some beautiful beaches. And everybody doesn't want the extremely busy hustle and bustle of a city. So even when we talk about really trying to grow out the social circle here, you know, understanding we'll never be a D.C. or a New York, but what can we do to really offer the most for this size town where people still feel options? But I think people sometimes like or seek something not quite as busy, especially when you think about laying roots and having a family and those kinds of things later, you know, into your 20s possibly. And then I think there's a lot of other organizations that are still here. And I think one of the big selling points for us definitely, is that there's a motto when you come into the city of Wilmington. It's a sign that says somewhere where anybody can be somebody. And it's really true. Growing up in the D.C. area, like I said, having worked in much larger cities, you know, talent stands out no matter where you are. But I think in Delaware, the thing that I've really experienced personally and seen firsthand has been you can be somebody. You can be somebody so much faster because there's, you know, 1 to 2 degrees of separation versus the normal 6. And you can really leverage being a big fish in a small pond. If you work hard and connect to the right places and people, you can really shine and establish yourself here, I think, in a way that's unique from large, really large metropolitan areas.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Kia, because I was looking at some of your comments on the blog, I shouldn't say the blog, but on your website, and it talks about Forbes did a report, 63% of young professionals believe that employers successfully onboard young talent, while only 31% feel that companies properly help with integration into the community. So there's kind of a an opportunity there. Yes,
sure.
They want the new hire, right, to be well acclimated to the culture, the climate, and all the amenities that a corporation may offer. At the same time, that connection to the community, whether it's a Toastmasters, whether it's a, you know, a Delaware State Chamber, whether it's a professional young organization to help kindergarten, high school, college level students. Tell us some of the activities that Accelerate Delaware is engaged in to specifically accomplish that type of thinking.
I think that's, again, where we have a really unique opportunity. So as you mentioned, we just launched 2 weeks ago, but one of the big, I think, benefits that we will offer our corporate partners is sort of being a social solution. So, you know, you think about, for instance, an internship or law students or people who are here with the Department of Education as fellows, or there's a number of people who are still transient. They have not yet fully relocated to Delaware, or even people who got a great job with JPMorgan Chase or Capital One or whatever and have relocated here. In fact, I live downtown in a high-rise apartment complex, which, of course, there's a lot of other young professionals here, and I happened to meet a guy in the elevator the other day. He thought I was somebody that wasn't, but we ended up talking. We're both originally from the D.C. area, and he was like, it's so nice to meet somebody new that doesn't also work for Capital One, because he just moved here recently to work. So while sort of to the statistics point within Forbes, he felt really well-connected at work, you know, had made sort of a circle of colleagues, but outside of it, you know, looking for some options. And so that's one of the things that we present to our corporate partners by saying, you know, you've got 8 to 5 down. It's a well-oiled machine, you know, so whether it's full-time employees or people who are in town for internships or whatever, but what do they do from 5 to 8? I was meeting with a law firm the other day, and one of the partners there, he happens to be a younger partner, but he's like, you know, I've got young kids at home. I'm going to Little League games and all that. I don't want to, you know, have to worry about taking some 21-year-olds out, you know, for cocktails after work to try to sell them on Wilmington and engage them in the city. I want to go home to my wife and kids. And I think that's the challenge that a lot of employers face. You know, what is the line that's appropriate between, you know, the social and professional relationship building? But I think you do, to an extent, need to sell people on the city. And so that's one of the things we hope to offer in our partnership with them as a member organization with Accelerate Delaware, where from that 5 to 8 or even later, you know, time frame, we're offering solutions. So we want to create social events where there aren't any existing, but there's also a lot of really cool stuff happening, but not necessarily one place where someone can go and find all the information. So we're working in partnership with Zip Code Wilmington and 1313 Innovation to create an app. And so one of the features of the app will actually be a calendar of events, but also there'll be push notifications and GPS-enabled notifications and that kind of thing. So depending upon your settings, if you're walking past Chelsea Taverns going down Market Street, you may get a push notification saying, hey, Accelerate Delaware members, 10% off tonight, you know, for being essentially for being a member. So we're working with business owners in the city to provide some incentives and really engage young professionals. And then also, even though you can sort of, you do have that 1 to 2 degrees of separation, still meeting people can be difficult. And, you know, maybe for the 27-year-old that, you know, still fits the millennial bracket or generation, but they're looking to transition more from entry level into mid-level management, or maybe they, you know, have worked in a certain field for a couple of years and realize it's really not their passion. They kind of want to start over or make a transition. You know, how do they do that? And so we want to host professional events that talk about industry trends that allow them to meet influential decision makers in their industries here and really help make those connections. And that's really how we came up with the name. We were doing some strategic planning, and the theme that continued to occur was accelerating things for people. So, like, I meet you, but I can enhance your trajectory and, you know, sort of the path of your career, or meeting people when you're new to the city. So that's really where Accelerate came from. That's what we want to do personally and professionally, really just help create a faster path and a really strong foundation for people who are from here and new here, either way, so that they'll choose to stay here.
We're speaking with Kia Irvin. She is the executive director over at Accelerate Delaware. If you don't know that, just go south on 295 and you will hit the state of Delaware in New Jersey. Of course, 95, excuse me, in Pennsylvania, you'll hit Delaware. It's a beautiful state. I've spent quite a bit of time down there. And Kia is sharing. Environment for those executives who are transplanted from other states or are coming back. Maybe they've done expatriate work overseas and they just want to come back into the state. You know, we're going to be right back. For those who don't know, by the way, Samuel Jackson is also a resident newly moved from LA, and we know that he has a penthouse in New York, but he has actually moved into Delaware. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we bring you an eclectic perspective on managing change.
Why do I listen to Managing Change with Ronald Allen and guests on blogtalkradio.com? Because I get to hear somebody else tell their story that relates to me. Issues, changes, and accomplishments that affect my life. Whether you're experiencing a career change, going through a family discussion about change, or an entrepreneur navigating the changes in your industry, Ronald's guests share their stories about winning. They bring solutions to bear on your issues. They get me answers to today's challenges in life. That's why I listen. blogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change in Managing Life's Changes.
And for those of you who are not as familiar with Kia Irvin, she is the director of the Wilmington Delaware Accelerate Program. She has actually got quite a background in nonprofits. She began as a site coordinator, providing a direct services to students, and advanced quickly to managing nearly $2 million budget operations with a myriad of programs that provided integrated supports for students identified as having high social, economic, and educational risk factors. Interesting, Kia, because that is part of my charge with the contract that I'm working with the company in Delaware, which the end of June I'll make that known, and there's reason and strategy to my madness.
Gotcha.
You must have heard, I think it was the beginning of April, the young girl, high school, was murdered right there in Washington. I know your population is the executive professional level. Can you just talk about some of the challenges that you experienced and addressed that Delaware, not just Wilmington, Delaware is also experiencing? Can you just tell us some of the challenges and then what solutions you brought to the table?
Through my work with communities and schools?
Yes, please.
You mean? I love, first of all, Communities and Schools is an amazing organization. It's the nation's leading dropout prevention program. So I actually began working for CIS when I lived in Charlotte, and moved to Delaware to continue my career with the organization because I just so strongly believed in its mission and its work. It was the first time I worked somewhere where I completely felt at home with the mission and my personal values. and they just provide wraparound student supports. And it's so vital, not just here in Delaware, for the issues that you face. I mean, you know, Wilmington is a very urban population. There's a lot of high poverty and needs. And then, you know, you go down state and it's very, very rural. And so they don't have a lot of resources. And there's also poverty, you know, that looks a little bit different in a rural community than it does in an urban community. But poverty is poverty, and we see those effects in education. And so I just think, you know, the thing that was so unique and so vital is that it really frees the teacher up to teach. I mean, there's just so much pressure nowadays, you know, and you know, I would go recruit mentors or talk with other people, and, you know, sometimes people would say, oh, in my day, we wouldn't do this, and, you know, these kids today are so out of control. And, you know, it's just really understanding some of the things that I saw some of the students face. It was mind-blowing, you know, and I wouldn't wish some of those things on my worst enemy. And so I think the level of resilience, you know, while unfortunately we have seen, you know, I think some moral decay and some, you know, clearly rise in crime and some of the issues that didn't exist, you know, 40, 50 years ago, the fact that these students face these things and still survive is just mind-blowing. So I do miss some of the direct student work, I think, but I realized in order to really help affect change in my community, I saw the past looking different and really having a leadership role. I joke with my friends, one of the reasons is because, unfortunately, in nonprofit direct services, just like teachers, you're severely underpaid. So I was like, I can't even write a check to donate at that time. And I really wanted to – I saw – so many decisions come down the pike through, you know, the DOE or, you know, with heads of major organizations. And sometimes I think the decisions that funnel down don't really reflect the needs that the people on the front lines really kind of see. It's different. Like, just like anything else, if you're in school, you understand something in theory, you know, but when you get your first job and start working, it feels really different. Or someone can explain the feeling of being in love, but once you're actually in love, you understand the feeling. And I think it's the same thing for working with young people and some of the needs that they face. But it's so rewarding. And I think working with that demographic has really prepared me really for anything I'll face. But yeah, there's a lot of amazing young people out here. I hope they can get the support needed to be the shining stars I believe they can be. But that was definitely a highlight in my career.
In your on your bio, you have the words be distinct, be genuine, be innovative, be inspired, and be relevant. Can you expand on those?
It's kind of just something I live by. When I was thinking of I consult also, and the name of my business is Relevant Communications. And, you know, when I think of the world today, I think the first time it really hit me probably was, you know, working with, actually probably when I worked with NASCAR, you know, I met a lot of celebrities, was always on the road, and then I completely changed career paths and got my master's in counseling and went into direct services. But I noticed from the rich and famous to the poorest, most desolate neighborhoods, one should strive to be relevant. Like, I wanted to feel like, you know, when I woke up in the morning, my life made a difference every day, and I was doing, you know, what I felt like I was put on this planet to do. And I think it takes having a strong sense of self and being genuine, because it's easy to, you know, put on a front and be whoever you want to be. And again, something I learned from working with kids, they could spot a fake from a million miles away and they'll tell you about it. So, you know, it's just so endearing, you know, having those experiences with them. But I think to continue to strive for greatness, to be ambitious, to do some of the things that I'm passionate about, you have to know what your inspiration is. There's a book now, you'll hear a lot about, you know, finding your why, like why you do what you do, so that after hard days or frustrating moments, you're not giving up because you always remember why you do what you do, and the greater purpose for it. And I think that, you know, in a life can be tough sometimes. So I think being true and trustworthy and genuine is just so important for professional and personal satisfaction.
You in Accelerate Delaware, you and I spoke the other day. We're in the vestibule of 1313 Innovation, and And you're absolutely right, Ryan Harrington, who I interviewed previously, and people can certainly see on our website, managingchange2.com, he actually uses the 3D technology to teach high school kids, which is absolutely fantastic, which again debunks the stereotype of certain people can do certain things or can be accessible to markets or have access to markets, when in fact, when we look at high-performance engines, we look at high-performance entertainers, celebrities, they actually have coaches and multiple coaches in order to help them. One aspect you're looking to develop to coach and support, mentor, and I did this with the Charm organization in Cherry Hill. You want to create a corporate leadership certification. Can you talk to us about that, please?
Sure. Well, Accelerate has three tracks. There's the social and professional, which, you know, like I said, will either create or help convene what already exists to sort of fill that social and a broader professional networking gap. But the executive track is a little different. It's going to be invitation only, and there'll be like an interview process. And we're looking for, you know, like the top of the top. So, for instance, one of our partners is Teach for America. So I would go to Larissa, the executive director of Teach for America, and say, you know, who at the schools is just not only, you know, meeting the standards of teaching, but going above and beyond, really having an impact in their school, being innovative or whatever, because those are the kinds of people we really want to keep. They're also the kind of people, because they're so talented, could go anywhere on the planet and be successful. And so we really want to help nurture their experience and help them become really significant leaders here in the first state. And so we would invite those types of individuals to apply for the executive track. And within the executive track, we're working with some universities to develop a executive leadership certification. So about 25 credit hours or so, which would deal with everything from leadership skills and business acumen to maybe establishing your own 501c3, you know, just certain skill sets that really allows some variety to your resume and helps you to sort of, again, take your career to the next level. Another component of that professional track, I'm sorry, the executive track, is an opportunity to serve as a consultant. So, for instance, if you are, I'll stick with using Teach for America, let's say you're a teacher. One of the neat things about TFA is their degrees are in a myriad of specialties of studies. It's not necessarily that they were an education major. They, you know, decided to then go into education. So let's say there's someone with a marketing degree who really loves teaching. They're serving 2 years at TFA before they go on to whatever else, and they decide, you know, I loved my experience with Teach for America, but I don't think I want to be in the classroom. Kind of want to get back into marketing, but my resume now is all teaching. So they're, again, they're sort of at this professional crossroads, which is very common for 20-something. So as a consultant within the executive track, I would then go to local businesses, you know, or come to us with projects, essentially. So let's say there's a small business who does not have the capacity within their staff to do a marketing campaign for the organization. And they may not have the budget to hire someone full-time, let alone use, you know, well-established or expensive consulting firm. So they would come to us. We would match them with a professional in the executive track, and that person would serve as a consultant. So, yes, they're teaching during the day, but as you know, technology allows us to work all over the world and, you know, still really be efficient. So they would meet weekly in person, but in between the person would work independently and complete the project. So in the example of this case, the marketing plan. And so the benefit is really to the employer or partner of Accelerate Delaware and to the consultant within our executive track, because it's essentially a long-term interview for both parties to really say, hey, could I work here? Or even if, again, if it's a really small company and they can't offer them a full-time position, they may know six other business owners that are, you know, own small businesses who also need a marketing plan. And so now this person has gotten projects on the side and a professional that's well-respected in the community that can serve as a reference or really vouch for them or help make other inroads for them professionally. So we see it really being a benefit the people would receive a stipend. So it's, you know, what young professional doesn't want a little extra money as well. So they're expanding their resume, their network, and getting paid. But then also they would be matched with a professional mentor where the responsibility of the mentor would be to meet with them monthly in person and also invite them at least quarterly to something. So whether it's, you know, a gala that costs $150 that the 22-year-old wouldn't necessarily have the disposable income to go to, now they get to go with their mentor and, again, meet and really expand their network in the state. So we're really excited about launching it. That's going to roll out a little bit later just because there are so many layers to it. We want to make sure we're rolling out the certification and everything with the highest quality. But we are, in the coming months, actually going to open up the applications for the executive track to at least participate in the consulting program. We've gotten a great reception since we launched. We already have companies coming to us looking to actually employ some of our young professionals as consultants for various projects that are actually really exciting. So we'll have to come back on and share once those things come out. But it's going to be great. It's going to be really exciting.
Excellent. We're speaking with Kia Irvin. She is the executive director over at Accelerate Delaware in the great first state of the United States. She has a bachelor's of science in communication and a concentration in public relations, and her master's is in counseling from Liberty University. She hails from Washington, D.C., now residing in Delaware. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we bring you an eclectic perspective on change, how change affects you, the individual, as you're going through life, as you've gone through the changes, both professional, personal, and certainly individual, your family, your social, cultural makeup, how that is also ebbed and flowed, especially when you marry. You know, the culture of others can be either stronger or less than yours, and therefore that change impacts how you see the world and how you address your challenges. And of course, professionally, whether you're starting a business using any of the SCORE, SBDC, or other agencies, to just winging it on your own. If you're a high-tech IT person, you know there are a number of incubators across the country, certainly New Jersey, Eastern Pennsylvania, and Delaware, my favorite three states, where you can get incredible support. So we're going to be right back with Kia Irvin, and we're going to continue Rebuilding Delaware, Attracting Talent on Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio. And just in case some of you were not aware, Google was in the house yesterday over in Philadelphia, attending a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce event. Google had its youngsters, young executives. It was very interesting because as I pulled out my Mac and my wife pulled out her PC, they looked at us and said, wow, these guys are definitely connected. And we kind of walked through their presentation on our own system. It was a very well attended, must have been at least 35, 40 people attending this event. And it was all about, of course, Google Apps. Some of you may know that Google now has an app that when you share an item, so I've gone to my app, I've downloaded something that I want to look at, and let's take real estate, that's the easiest thing to use as an example, and I send it to somebody, and they say, take a look at this. guess what? You don't have to download the app on the Google platform in order to look at the item that's being shared. So this is just some of the new technology that's out there. Also, a pen that writes in liquid plastic, which when is attached by the treated by the air, becomes a solid. So now you can literally draw in 3D. The technology baffles me. I came up at a time where we had black and white television. Do you remember those? We are talking with Kia Irvin. She is the executive director over at Accelerate Delaware. We're talking about rebuilding Delaware and attracting new talent, social implications, economic needs. And that's where we're going to kind of jump right in here. Kia, let's talk a bit, because you did mention in some of your material here, the business and the government end that some of these executives, these young executives, may be attracted to these elements. Can you speak about that, whether it's public office, whether it's being on that incubator service you mentioned? But I'm asking you to draw on the government perspective. You know, you go in and meet with your senator, your councilman, your well, in New Jersey we have freeholders, and you're trying to get something done. What kind of support have you seen, are you going to be asking for, that you would like from these public servants in your state?
I mean, I think that we really hope to bridge gaps between a lot of the industries and essentially almost anything that would affect a young professional's decision on remaining in Delaware or choosing Delaware. So I think one thing that, again, you know, is really important with intrinsic values, I think civic engagement. And so we'll be partnering with a variety of organizations such as the Wilmington Metropolitan Urban League. So, for instance, they do training on how to run for office or how to help support a campaign and lead a campaign. So I think that's a unique thing. We're not trying to recreate a bunch of wheels. I mean, some things we will definitely create from the ground up, but there's a lot of good things happening that we want to help connect people to, whether you know, kind of lived here all your life and, you know, kind of stuck within your own surroundings and now want to broaden your horizons, or you're new and you're trying to find ways to connect. So if you're interested in being involved civically, we want to help connect you with organizations like Urban League. If you're interested in philanthropy, we want to help you get connected to the United Way Young Professionals or NextGen, which is a group of young professionals through the Delaware Community Foundation that offer grants and board involvement. So there's a lot of opportunities there. We hope to connect people. We also want to help be a voice and help mobilize, you know, so for instance, some of the businesses that closed, you know, really early, let's say, where young professionals aren't even leaving the office sometimes until 7 or 8, or, you know, for instance, if there's teachers that are running after school programs or doing something in the neighborhood with a family, and the stores are closed on the weekdays or not even open, maybe on a Sunday. We want to help mobilize, and through the data we're able to collect through our app, really go back to business leaders and say, this is the buying power of the millennial, and we need to accommodate them and work together to really have people feel like they want to live or can live, work, and play in the city. It's sort of thing for the last several years, at least since I've lived here, been the chicken or the egg kind of a conversation, especially for some of the development downtown, where some of the businesses say, well, we closed because we don't have enough business to warrant staying open and paying staff and et cetera. And a lot of young professionals say, well, I don't come because I know you're closed. And so really, again, kind of being a bridge for those conversations. So where I can go to a business owner and say, we want a place to get a cup of coffee on Sunday. So maybe we'll start with one coffee shop and it's open one Sunday a month. But we'll all 50 or 100 of us will come patronize your business and really show support for when you open. So, I mean, that's not direct government involvement, but I think we'll definitely see the economic impact on the city. And in a way, it's still mobilizing sort of in having that level of civic engagement. And I think there's a lot of young professionals, even that are running for office locally. There's a few people that are involved with us that are running from everything from city council and school board up to Eugene Young, who's running for mayor. So I think you're seeing sort of this new wave of leaders in the city who I'm really excited to work with them and partner with them. It's a phrase I kind of came up with actually on a marketing campaign I did a few years ago, but I think it's also really appropriate for this work. We want to remember traditions, but also help inspire change. I think Delaware, again, is a state that is so, you know, it is the first state, and it's very rich in its traditions and its relationships. And so there's a lot that should be loved and respected, but there's also some things, you know, with sort of welcoming the new guard as the baby boomers are retiring and millennials are kind of climbing the ranks that need to change in order to remain competitive with other states.
Kia, you know, some years ago I was part of an initiative called Arts Transforming Urban Environments. And if you live long enough, you'll see economic highs and lows across the globe. One which I can definitely share, which impacted me, 1974, 1975, the British pound was devalued, inflation was rampant, no job opportunities when I came out of high school, out of college, and so we had to make good with what was available until things improved, or, as in this case, you can use technology to create services, deliver services, or create businesses. Have you reached out to countries? Again, Leicester in England had a similar economic meltdown, and it wasn't until 20 years after immigrants came in from other parts of the world, and even though domestic citizens felt that there was polite, the immigrants could pick that up. They came from even worse situations, and they were able to pick it up. So the question begs, can you see opportunities of identifying other cultures, other nationalities who are doing great things despite their own challenges that you could use in Delaware?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth exploring. We're still in the early stages, so we are doing a lot of research and seeing, you know, what has worked in similar cities across the country. But also, to your point, I think it's very important to be globally competitive. And I think, again, with millennials, some of the lines that have separated previous generations, I think, are not as prevalent or as important to millennials. And so I think, you know, having global impact or access and awareness is very important. So, you know, for us, we're open to whatever, you know, will work and help us retain talent and see that impact on the state. You know, so if the idea or the structure, you know, portions of it come from another country or right around the corner, we're open to them because we want to be inclusive. We want to be competitive and really embrace, you know, what's worked in the past, other places. So I think there'll be some elements that are unique to Delaware because, again, it does, you know, have its own personality, and things that have worked other places may or may not work here. But I think it's certainly worth exploring. And again, to really, really help sort of solidify and expand that whole global reach that so many millennials are interested in. I was having dinner last night with, I think she's 26, and she's finishing her MBA and studied abroad. And she was, you know, talking about, she studied in Vienna and some other places in Europe, and just how culturally it had such an impact on her, just seeing how other people live, other places, how things work. So I think the value for other cultures is really strong among millennials. So bringing that sense of togetherness and global unity, I think, will be really valuable within our work.
You bring up a good point, which we're going to have to pick up on the other side, and that is the social values to the community being America, and I'm talking, of course, about our Affordable Care Act now in place, part of government, part of rules and regulations. It's an act. It's really not going to go anywhere unless they totally go against the rules and regulations. That's okay. It's been done before. we're going to pick up on that on the other side, because when my father retired in, what was it, 95, we looked at the cost of healthcare and the value it provided to citizens and therefore the working environment, and how that plays to those young professionals who are coming into our cities and saying, this model benefits everybody. At the same time, the real challenge is, are we willing, one question we ask in change management is, are we willing to do away with the identifiers black and white? So the question here dealing with healthcare would be, are we willing to take a little bit more of the cost while the overall health of our nation rises? And that's been documented across multiple countries. But I'm going to leave that and let that ferment with you a little bit. And we're going to come right back after the break. Just one moment, okay, Kia? We'll be right back.
All right.
Why do I listen to Managing Change with Ronald Allen and guests on blogtalkradio.com? Because I get to hear somebody else tell their story that relates to me. Issues, changes, and accomplishments that affect my life. Whether you're experiencing a career change, going through a family discussion about change, or an entrepreneur navigating the changes in your industry, Ronald's guests share their stories about winning. They bring solutions to bear on your issues. They get me answers to today's challenges in life. That's why I listen. blogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change in Managing Life's Changes.
And it certainly is a matter of managing change when you realize that 2006, 7, 8, that the financial meltdown because of risk taking in the real estate, which was again, a duplication that happened in the late 80s and 90s with the savings and loans industry. Some of you may remember the name Michael Milken. And when they charged him $8 million as a penalty, he took out his checkbook and wrote it. So some of the awareness that we have to have of our macroeconomics is that we're not going to change things. On the other hand, and coming out of college, we discussed that is what I can do as an individual with my family, with my social groups, in order to affect a certain level of managing change. So my question now to Kia, our guest, she is the executive director over at Accelerate Delaware, rebuilding Delaware by attracting young executive talent to Delaware and specifically to Wilmington, because it does represent a great opportunity, social responsibility, civic responsibility. The health of a community is only as good as when we're all moving and engaged, not just receiving benefits, not just receiving services, rather we're all actively and want to participate. That's the real difference. If you look at some of the psychology behind successful systems and societies, behavioral change, if someone is not permitted to be part of the process, they will become either passive-aggressive, they will either tune out, as many of our youngsters, you look at our national issue with youngsters, there was a great report by a young lady, did her PhD in gamification. And some of you may know that the students, young, I believe high school students, go through 10,500 hours of education during that growth period. Well, they're spending a similar amount of time in gamification because there is an attraction. There is a reason. There are rules and regulations that they can abide by. Whereas in life, it seems to ebb and flow and there's no sense of it, so children tune out. So we're looking at that same kind of challenge here with young executives. Yes, they can go anywhere they want, so why would they come into Delaware? So Kia, what are some of the social statements that you're hearing from these executives, that why they chose Delaware in the first place, and in some cases are having second thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the benefits that people talk about is the cost of living, to still be able to access. So, you know, it's a, like I said, a 30-minute drive to Center City, Philadelphia, or 2 hours to New York, 2 hours to D.C. So they feel like they can still get that action, you know, something that, of course, is a major metro area versus Wilmington, but they're not paying, you know, those costs. I know a young professional that just moved downtown, and what she pays for her two-bedroom is actually less than what she was paying for a really small studio apartment when she lived in New York. So, you know, same thing with, I've been talking to some of the law firms, you know, if you're doing well in a practice here, I mean, again, your dollar, you can get paid almost comparable to someone, you know, working in Philadelphia, but the cost of living is better. So I think that the fact that you still have access to other places, if you want that big city fix, it's really easy to get without day-to-day having those expenses. I have some friends, young professionals. One, he has his PhD, is working in the sciences. She's in nonprofit management. The daycare is $400 less a week or a month here for their one-year-old. So they can get to the city in Philly really easily, but they feel like the quality of life is better here in Wilmington. So that's a benefit that I've heard. I think a detriment has been people don't really know where to go to get the information. Again, I think there's a lot happening, and there have been, you know, there's campaigns like in Wilmington and other things where I think the Wilmington, the Renaissance Corporation does a great job. They're really working to rebuild and tell the story of the arts district. So there's a lot of cool things happening, but not necessarily one place that really speaks across the board. So you may have a publication that talks about activities in the arts, or you may have a, you know, something that talks about a particular neighborhood because they have a very active neighborhood association or Facebook page. So I think finding a way, which again is something that we hope to do through the app, is really be a one-stop shop for information. So, you know, when I first moved here, people say, oh, go party in Trolley Square. Well, you know, for me, it didn't really, they weren't my demographics. You know, I felt like, because I moved here in my late 20s, and I felt like it was college-age students. I didn't see a lot of diversity. You know, it's like a lot of beer places, and just it just wasn't my style, but that was the place that was known for young professionals. And so I struggled when I moved here. I think I'm a great poster child for Accelerate Delaware. I was actively looking to move, even though I loved my job, but I'm very social, I'm an extrovert, and I didn't want to feel like I was just, you know, living here, but my life was in D.C. and New York on the weekends until I really kind of found my circle, and it took me a couple years, which was abnormal for me because, again, living in other places, I feel like I sort of found where I fit in a lot sooner. So, again, I think that there's things happening. It's just how the story is being told. So I think we've got a great opportunity to highlight some of the amazing things going on here and really help people connect. And the other really, really cool thing is that you can't do, again, I know I keep picking on D.C. and New York, but they're the closest large cities to us, but Atlanta, Chicago, anywhere, if you don't see something that you want here, you can create it, truly. I mean, and that's the cool thing. If you want to start a group or a meetup or an association or figure out how to have a meeting with an executive about something, I mean, the level of access and the opportunity to start a business or be the change you want to see. I mean, it's really possible to create that here.
Food is a major pull in activities. My wife and I have traveled literally from Connecticut down to Virginia now to find different restaurants, and certainly the eastern seaboard is stacked full of them. One benefit for Mount Clair, New Jersey, is that they have some 60 or 70 restaurants literally within a two-mile walking distance. Is there diversity of food in in Wilmington specifically?
I think it's coming. BPG, the Boutini Polling Group, is working really hard to bring in some great restaurateurs in some places. So just within the last year, we've had Lydia open on Market Street, Casino Lolo, the Merchant Bar. I mean, those are three places with all different types of fare and cuisine. And, you know, who you will see people eating dinner there at like 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, whereas before you wouldn't see anything open. So I think groups like the Buccini Pollen Group, who actually the Buccinis are from Delaware originally, worked in New York for several years and have come back with that experience and opportunities and are really passionate about building out Wilmington. So they're one of our key partners that we're really excited about working with. I mean, they have everything from some of the buildings where the restaurants are housed to some really cool apartment complexes. So they're definitely going to be one of our partners. They're also doing a lot to affect the whole live, work, play atmosphere here. So, I mean, it's growing. Like I said, in the 4 years I've lived here, I've seen significant change. So I think we're on our way.
We spoke also, Kia, of the College Challenge, where students are coming from other states. They're coming from international students are coming to the Delaware universities. They are then being hired by local businesses, and I've heard this through other business owners, large corporations. I've spoken to their key placement associates, and their main concern is that maybe after 2 or 3 years, the that graduate decides to leave because of the very reason you are working on Accelerate. How are you are you working with the colleges and the corporations who are able to place these students, then to get a feel, to poll them, to coin a phrase, so that you can start to build out that infrastructure that will keep them here?
Yes, we are. So, for instance, one of our corporate partners is JP Morgan Chase, and we work really closely with some of their recruiters, back to the Forbes article that you mentioned earlier. I mean, so people can feel really connected at work, but and it's not necessarily your employer's job to make you feel connected outside of work, but that's where we hope to come in and can be used as a resource. So whether it's orientation for, you know, the group of interns or being a part of the new hire packet with our corporate partners, we want to be out there as a resource socially and professionally outside of their time at work, and even in partnership with some things that are happening with their jobs. I think, again, telling the story of what is here, helping people feel connected and acclimated here, is something that we definitely look forward to doing. And I think also, I think some of it you'll see just as a national trend. I don't think it's a Delaware-specific problem. You know, millennials, you know, gone are the days of you get your job out of college and you stay with that company until you retire 30 years later. So I think, again, nationally, I think we'll see the trend, or are seeing the trend, where people are leaving, you know, after a few years in a position. So we're hoping that through our work and our partnerships, even if they leave and go to another organization, we hope that through our work they'll be able to stay within Delaware and still, you know, take the promotion or make the transition, but still with an organization through somebody they've been able to connect with through Accelerate Delaware. So we're definitely excited about partnering to help with retention for the companies, but also as they do transition and move around, still considering Delaware instead of elsewhere when they do transition.
Well, Kia, we have to give a shout out to your team, your staff, who put on the gala on May the 14th.
That's
really very professional. The young lady that introduced my wife and I to you, she had come up and said, guys, you know, is there anything I can do? Are you new? Are you from Delaware? Very professional. And we had a great evening, very well executed. I saw your host also was on the screen there talking about what the goal is of Accelerate. Just quickly, who are your mentors? Who are your mentors in life?
Oh, I've been blessed to have some amazing ones. But, yes, so definitely have to thank, real quick before I answer that, Sarah DuPont, who is the president of the Longwood Foundation, who has been the driving force of this idea becoming real, and even funding and incubating the program for a couple of years until we're on our own. So definitely really grateful for Sarah's innovation and leadership and actually mentorship in answering that question. And Janice Ray, who is the young lady who introduced us, and Monica Welch, our graduate assistant. It's a really small team right now, but we're small but mighty. So it's been really incredible to build with them. But I got to say, my parents are amazing. I've been blessed with a great mom and dad. They were definitely my first mentors and teachers. And then my youth pastor and dance teacher from childhood had a tremendous impact on my life, through my teenage years into college. And then I've always, valued mentoring. I'm the youngest child, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I believe in watching other people, seeing like sort of what worked and what didn't. I don't want to have to make mistakes unnecessarily. So, just really I've been so fortunate to have people who were willing to answer my questions and take coffee with me. I think being inquisitive and curious is so important, and being teachable, no matter how smart or bright or successful you think you are, you've been. I think the willingness to learn and grow and receive feedback, it has been, for me, why I've been able to accomplish what I have within my career, and do things that have made me the youngest to get the job or to do this or do that, because I'm hungry to learn and realize that I always hope to have mentors, and then I also value being able to give back and help other people just as I was helped along the way. That's very, very important to me, and it's so special now being in a position where I am able to hire people and mentor people and do things. So definitely hope to pay forward what I've been blessed to receive over the years.
In 5 years, Kia, where do you want to see Accelerate Delaware?
I hope Accelerate Delaware is the go-to for people who are moving here, people who are looking for something cool to do on a Friday night. We hope to really have strong corporate partnerships where it's just understood that we're part of their almost recruiting process. We kind of work together. For our executive track, we hope to be a competitive, renowned certification program. And when people are looking for the best and the brightest in Delaware, we want them to call us and ask for referrals. And I think we can get there. I think there's a good tide of change. I think it's just a great time to be doing this in Delaware. So we'll see. But, yeah, that's where we'll be in 5 years.
How can people reach you?
Our website is acceleratedelaware.org, and you can email us at info@acceleratedelaware.org.
Kia Irvin.
And follow us on social media also. On Facebook and Instagram, it's @acceleratedelaware. And on Snapchat and Twitter, it's @acceleratede.
Kia Irvin, Executive Director for Accelerate Delaware, Rebuilding Delaware, Attracting Talent. Kia, it is a pleasure having this opportunity, having met you in person, having met your team, and being a part of your kickoff for the year. I think you're off to a great start.
Thank you very much. We look forward to working with you more. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely, Kia. You have a great evening, and thank you once again, listeners. By all means, check us out at managingchange2, that's a numeric 2 at the end, .com, and you will see all of our guests posted and their connections. We do have to make some adjustments on Kia's down here, some typos there. That's just because there's only one of us here in our staff. We're a very small operation, but we're still kicking it.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure. This is Ronald Allen, Managing Change, on Blog Talk Radio. You have a great evening.
You have been listening to Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen, on Internet Blog Talk Radio, with guests providing their perspectives about you, the individual, the family nucleus, your career, your business, and your entrepreneurial spirit, life's perspectives about managing change. Join Ronald and guests every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for another episode about managing change on internetblogtalkradio.com. Remember, the program is now showcased on managingchange2.com, where you can search for your favorite guest interview or get in touch with them and start a chat. Enter their forum or start your own public or private group to engage others in managing change. Catch Managing Change Internet Blog Talk Radio.com. Search Managing Change every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Be seeing you.